Thank you, Farron. Let me encourage you to take a Bible and to follow along with each of the scriptures that we look at this morning. I'd like for us to end our time together today by talking a little bit about something that I was meditating upon recently. And that is, you know, there are more and more people in this world that we see that reject church. They just don't see any reason to participate in church. They don't think it is necessary. And quite often in their lives, they will set many other things as priorities in their life, whether it's work or recreation or hobbies or just simply catching up from the week. And they don't see church as something that is important to them at all. Have you ever thought about the kind of impact that has when people will choose to do that, when they don't see any reason to make church a priority? How will this affect those who do this? Now, as Christians and from a spiritual perspective, we quite often, in talking about the importance of this, we will address the fact that the Bible teaches that this is a responsibility before God. In our adult class in the auditorium this morning, we spent some time talking about that. And one passage that I think illustrates this in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, there when the Apostle Paul has first come to Christ and he is brought by Barnabas to the church at Antioch, the text tells us there that they assembled with the saints there for a whole year, showing that here this apostle and Barnabas as well recognized that's something Christians need to do. We recognize as well that neglect of our responsibility to the Lord's church is that which can influence our eternal destiny. And I cite Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 as a text that reflects that, when Paul speaks to the elders in the church in Ephesus, having met them in the nearby city of Miletus. He talks to them about their responsibility as elders, but he uses a phrase in describing the church that I think is significant. He describes the church as that which Christ purchased with his own blood. Now, if we think about that, if the church is comprised of those bought by the blood of Christ, what does it mean if I distance myself from that, if I step outside of that and no longer believe that the church is important? It means that I am not any longer among those that were purchased by the blood of Christ. Now, those things, as I said, are spiritual ramifications, spiritual consequences or eternal consequences. But so often, what we want to consider is, well, what impact does this have on my life in the here and now? And as we talk to our friends about this and try to urge them to recognize, you need to see the Lord's church is something that is important, they may very well say, well, you know, it doesn't affect anything in my life. I want us to think for a few moments about what impact it really does have if, in fact, the Lord's church is not a priority in our life. What are some ways that it will affect us in the here and now? First of all, I want to suggest to you that it will affect our view of ourselves. You know, as we live our life from day to day, there aren't very many reminders that will call upon us to recognize that we are more than just flesh and blood that make up our physical, visible appearance and visible self. Instead, the Bible teaches that we are souls made in the image of God. If we don't have those kinds of constant reminders that we have a spirit within us that's made in the image of God, we're going to forget that. And it may be easy for us to be like those described in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, just living as if we're just like brute beasts. You know, I think it's interesting that so often we'll hear media and culture and even science like to describe human beings as simply animals. Well, you tell somebody that they're an animal long enough and they will begin to act like and think like and see themselves in that way. It may be that as Titus chapter 3 and verse 3 describes it, that we will be serving various lusts and desires, allowing simply the pleasure of life to dictate what we do rather than seeing anything higher or anything nobler or anything that is eternal in nature. But I think it will also be something that will lead us to be selfish. In Jude, verse 12, in a very similar context to that which we noted in 2 Peter chapter 2 a few moments ago, there it describes those who are serving only themselves. You know, if you think about it, it is when we come together, when we study God's Word, that we call upon one another to recognize we need to look outside of ourselves. We need to look at things beyond simply our own lives and our own interests. And I want to submit to you that it is our bond with one another in the Lord's church that can help us to be that way. If not very easily, it can be that we are simply just interested in our own things, thinking about our own things and nothing more. But I think also, if we do not set the Lord's church as a priority, we are not going to see our condition before God. Go with me, if you would, in the book of Psalms. And I want us to notice in Psalm 94, I'd like us to read verses 7 through 11. And consider some things that the psalmist says, not only about those who reject an awareness of God, but I think a recognition that we need to have about the authority that God holds over us. The psalmist writes, beginning in verse 7, "Yet they say, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand." You know, if you do not put church as a priority, you're not going to find many circumstances and many situations that will even call upon you to recognize there's a God in heaven that oversees your behavior, that cares about how you live, and expects of you a certain behavior. Instead, you're just going to live your life as if you're accountable to no one. Here, I think that's reflected in verse 7, the attitude that says, God doesn't see. I don't need to pay attention to God. Notice the psalmist goes on to say, "Understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear?" What a beautiful way of describing that. He is the one that put an ear on you and I. He planted it, if you will, in our bodies and in our lives. Is he not going to hear and to know what's going on? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nations, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. I think that's important for us to think about. If the Lord's church is not a priority, it will affect our view of ourselves. But in a second thing that I think we should consider, if the Lord's church is not a priority, it will also affect our view of the world in general. You know, as I was thinking about this, one of the things that really motivated me to consider presenting this lesson, we've talked a lot about a lot of these things, but I don't know that I have ever really just presented before you or asked you to consider, you know, there are things around us all the time that influence us, that we hear, that shape things that we think about. The book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, points out very clearly, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Those things that we are surrounded by are what help us to get a view of life, a view of this world. You hear the term somebody's worldview. Well, what is it that shapes your worldview? If it is not for a commitment to the Lord, if it is not for the songs that we sing and the things that we discuss when we come into Bible classes, if we take that out of our lives, think about the things that we will hear and those things that we will not hear. Just as a couple of examples, you know, one that I particularly thought about as I was thinking about this. We come together and we, from time to time, will sing a song that says, "It won't be very long till this short life shall end. It won't be very long till Jesus shall descend." Now, think about that. That calls upon us to meditate upon and to recognize, you know, my life's not going to last forever. This life is short, and it could be at any time. Or the song that we sing, How Great Thou Art. A song that magnifies the grandeur of God. A song that calls upon us to recognize the God that we serve is the God that brought things into existence. How great and how magnificent He is. Am I going to hear those kinds of things? And am I going to have those seeds of thought planted in my heart and in my mind if I'm not with the Lord's people in the Lord's church? I doubt it. I think most often we will hear other things, the things of this life, or we may hear those kinds of things that will call upon us to doubt, or those kinds of things that will try to urge us to think, you don't need to value God. You don't need to recognize the brevity of your life. You're going to continue to live a long, long life. So often, we don't have anything that reminds us of our own mortality. Or songs such as, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. You know, so often I think it becomes easy for us to, if the church is not a priority in our life, see this world as our home. Notice with me a couple of passages. 1 John chapter 4. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. And I'd like us to look together at verses 4 through 6. Because as children of God, we've got to have a different perspective. As children of God, we've got to recognize that, yes, we live in this world, and yes, we enjoy things in this life, but this is temporary. And notice what John, through the Holy Spirit, says beginning in verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Think about that perspective. John, through the Holy Spirit, is trying to call upon us to recognize we face hardship, we face persecution, there's falsehood, there are those that try to say that what we believe is wrong. But John says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's a different perspective. That's something that calls upon us to recognize, wait, this isn't where my hope is. It continues, they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. They are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Am I going to have any kind of sense that this world is not my home? I'm just passing through if I don't make the Lord's church a priority in my life. Turn to Philippians chapter 3 and notice the Apostle Paul's point that he offers to us. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 18 through 21. The apostle says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. I appreciated the point Brother Jeff made in his invitation Wednesday night as he talked about how so often we're bombarded by the things of this world, the things that cause us to think that they compromise the sum total of our existence. If the Lord's church is not a priority in my life and in your life, am I going to meditate upon the fact that I've got a citizenship in heaven? Am I going to meditate upon the fact that this world is not my home? I'll tell you, friend, that is a consequence of not putting the Lord's church a priority that you and I need to think about. But a third thing that I would challenge you to consider, if the Lord's church is not a priority, it will also affect our family. Now, how do I mean that? Well, first of all, it will shape our values, because we're not going to hear in the world those kinds of concepts of the family that are taught in Scripture. We're not going to be presented with the picture of how God wants a family to function by listening to the news, by listening to psychologists, by listening to the world. It is when we come together to study, when we open our Bibles, that we look at passages such as Colossians chapter 3. You go up into Colossians chapter 3 and notice the simplicity of the pattern that God sets forth. Colossians 3 verse 18, where he says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." I'm going to tell you that's not what the world is going to tell us. And I'm going to tell you that the place in which we will hear that promoted, we will hear that explained, the place where we will hear that urged upon us, and our values will be shaped in accordance with that beautiful picture of the home and the family, is in the Lord's church. It is in the Lord's church that we will hear things about the permanence of our marriage relationships. It is in the Lord's church where we will read and we will talk about, in a world and a culture that rejects it. We'll look at passages such as Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, where our Lord said, "And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." Now, you may hear this and you may say, "Well, preacher, I don't buy that. You know, I'm going to be a good husband. I'm going to be faithful to my wife, whether or not the Lord's church is a priority or not." Is that right? Well, I would hope that that would be the case. But I'm going to tell you, we live in a world in which you're not going to hear reinforcement that you need to honor your commitment to your mate. You're not going to hear reinforcement that marriage is for life. What you're going to hear is, "You know, if you fall out of love, that just happens. You know, if you like somebody else better, go for it. You do what makes you feel good." You know, marriage is not really something that God made. Marriage is just something that's man-made. And so, you know, if you want it to be a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, or whatever, or you don't want it to last, you do what you want to do. It is in the Lord's church and among the Lord's people that we will talk about God's view of marriage. And I'm going to tell you, you hear long enough the world's ideas, even if you start out with an attitude that says, "I'm going to be a good husband," you hear that long enough, it will have an impact upon you. I think it is in the Lord's church that you will hear reasons that you need to grow to be a better husband, reasons that you need to grow to be a better wife, or mother, or father, or child, or parents. Consider 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 as an example, where there it is in God's word, as pronounced and proclaimed within the Lord's church, that you're going to read things such as this: "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." They may say, "Well, preacher, I hear things all the time that are not religious, that don't have anything to do with the church, that will talk about, here's how to make your marriage work. Here's how to be a better husband." Well, I'll tell you what, if it is things that in any way reflect what we find taught in Scripture, they're simply borrowing it from God's word. But far too often, you're going to see that many of those things that they will offer and they'll set forth as the solution or the way in which you ought to be a husband or you ought to be a wife have nothing to do with the Word of God. And I think it ought to be a little surprise to us that so many families, so many husbands and wives have things that fall apart. So much selfishness becomes a part of family and life. Is it any wonder if the Lord's church is not set forth as a priority? But finally, we should recognize as well that if the Lord's church is not a priority in our lives, we will influence our family to do the same. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And notice with me a charge that is given specifically here to fathers. There may be some application to mothers as well. "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath." Listen to this. but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord.
Let's say that I'm a wife and I decide, you know, I just don't have any place for the Lord's church in my life. But, you know, I'm still going to try to teach my children to do what they should. Well, you know, I am familiar with and I know of families that have reached the point where husband, wife, neither one, mother, father, neither one, make the Lord's church any kind of priority in their life. And it should be no surprise that as their children grow, they struggle with honesty. As their children grow, you know, they've stolen some things or they've not behaved themselves before teachers and they've not behaved themselves as they ought to. I look at that and I say to myself, well, what did you expect? If there's not things in their lives that are leading them to recognize why we should tell the truth, if there are not influences in their lives that lead them to recognize that we have a responsibility before God, so I don't steal something that belongs to someone else, I need to recognize the authority of God and the authority of my parents and those that are set in authority over me, so I do what my teachers tell me, I won't recognize it otherwise. And it should be no surprise when we see children that have no care for how they treat other people, no care for laws, no care for things such as that. Now, I'm not suggesting that everyone that sets church as a non-priority in their life is going to be a criminal or that kind of thing. You know, a lot of people will go through their lives and they'll live pretty decent lives, you know, because they don't want to go to jail. They don't want to lose all their friends. They don't want to destroy every relationship. But again, they're borrowing some things from what the Word of God teaches, but they're not applying everything that the Word of God teaches. But the last thing that I offer to you in consideration of this is if the Lord's church is not a priority, it is going to affect our view of time. You know, we are going to find ourselves in a position in which we want to avoid all reminders of mortality. You know, we had a number of funerals here a few weeks ago, and as it always does, it makes you begin to think about life and think about mortality. I have thought as well about how things have changed somewhat in over time. It used to be that rather than when someone, a loved one, passed away, allowing funeral home to take care of their body, it used to be that was something the family had to do. It might have been that the body was put for a visitation or it was put there in the home so that family and friends could come and visit and you recognized the brevity of life. But you know, in our culture, I'm not saying we have to go back to those kinds of things specifically, but what I'm suggesting is that little by little what we do is we push anything out of our vision and out of our line of sight that reminds us that this life is not going to last forever. And if you don't set the Lord's church as a priority in your life, maybe there's going to be a sad movie you watch every now and then that reminds you that people will die of cancer or there'll be things that will bring life to an end. But often it becomes much easier to just kind of not think about that, particularly as it relates to you and I. Now, none of us like to think about death. We noticed in our first lesson this morning that death can be a sad thing. When Hezekiah learned that he was going to die, he cried, he wept. But we also recognize that God held power over that. I want to submit to you, though, that if you and I do not make the Lord's church a priority in our life, we are going to allow ourselves to kind of fall prey to this myth that, well, my life's just going to keep going. Tomorrow's going to be the same as it was today, and on and on and on. And we're not making the kind of preparation that we need to. Psalm 105, verses 15 through 17 says, "For as for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children." Look over in Psalm 144, and we'll notice a similar kind of idea.
It is within the Lord's church that we will read things such as this. We'll meditate upon what that means and what bearing it has upon our life. Psalm 144, verse 3 and 4 will tell us this. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath, his days like a passing shadow. I don't believe that I have ever turned on the television and been impressed with the fact that, you know, man is a breath. Man is a passing shadow. You've got a limited amount of time. Take advantage of that. Use it as best. Use it to glorify God. You know, what happens if the Lord's church is not a priority and we're not reminded of these things by one another? What will happen is we'll begin to imagine that we have time. We have all the time in the world. Over in James chapter 4. Do you remember there, James through the Holy Spirit? In James chapter 4 and in verses 13 through 15. Will offer to us this warning that we need to recognize. And it is a warning that, once again, I don't think you're going to hear. You're going to think about if the Lord's church isn't a priority in your life. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. In an environment in which God is dismissed, in an environment in which you don't talk about God, you don't talk about the brevity of life, are you and I, if the church is not a priority in our life, really going to recognize, I am only here for a little time. I've got a little amount of time that I need to use the best that I possibly can to glorify God and to prepare myself for the age to come. And the last point that I want to offer to you is that if we're not doing that, if the Lord's church is not a priority in our life, we are not making provisions for eternity. Over in Matthew chapter 6, in the Lord's Sermon on the Mount, I remind you of what our Lord said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. Because as we live our lives, we focus our energies, we store up certain things. But Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, as we think about these things, I hope that it will motivate each of us to look at our life and to ask ourselves the question, is the Lord's church a priority in my life? Is the Lord's church a priority in your life? Are you faithful in your attendance? That's a demonstration that it is meaningful, it's important, it's something that you recognize has not only an influence on you, but you recognize is something whereby you reflect your love and your devotion to God. Do you value the relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Or instead, is it something that, well, I could take it or leave it? Is it something that, you know, it's a small part of my life, but it's not going to dominate my life? If you've never obeyed the gospel, we need to start with even another question. Are you even a part of the Lord's church? If not, I urge you this very morning to put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Confess that faith before men. Repent of sin that would separate you from God and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. The Lord tells us that in so doing, He will add us to His body, the church, and all of these things that we talked about that will influence our view of ourselves, our view of this world, and our view of time will be a constant part of your interaction with the Lord's people and your service in His body, the church. If you've never done that, all things are ready and prepared. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.